Shuffling Deadcast, the shufflingdead.com podcast. This is episode 2, and I'm your host, Noobs, editor-in-chief of shufflingdead.com. Joining me once again is Shuffling Deadcast co-host Salsi. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So, let's get right into it with some news.
Okay. Starting off with sort of a hot topic, Australia.
Right, so this has kind of been Australia Week on Shuffling Dead.
It has been.
Where we've discovered that Australia is not the warm paradise that we all thought it was.
Sort of the British California, as you might.
Right. a warmer Canada, whatever you want to say. No, it turns out it's a repressive, dictatorial hellhole where basically they don't want you to have any fun.
Yeah, so, like, Britain has some different
pornography,
like, related legislation for, like, what can be made, what can be sold, and how they're rated and stuff. But apparently Australia is doing it, too. But they've got some weirder restrictions.
Right, so there's this Senator Barnaby Joyce, who's decided to go after small breasts in porn because he says it makes you a pedophile.
Yeah.
Now, I titled this news story, Australia Going to War Against Female Sexuality. And basically, I take real issue with this because it's incredibly insulting to women.
It is. I mean, it is insulting towards women because, first of all, it assumes that, like, well,
small-breasted women aren't women, they're little girls.
They're
in
little
disguise,
girls, exactly. And that guys are only healthy if they have a healthy, like, indulgence or
if they
bias towards large breasts.
Right, exactly.
So when, like, a normal woman is looking at porn, she's gonna be like, man, I'm only an A cup. I need to get some surgery, otherwise I'm not gonna be desirable.
Otherwise I'm gonna turn my partner into a pedophile,
exactly.
Apparently.
And, yeah.
I mean, like, what are the real-world applications of this? Are small-breasted Australian women, you know, next on the hit list?
Like, you know what I think? I think the government is in, like, cohorts with, like, this plastic surgery corporation or something. This evil conspiracy plan to, like, bump up their business.
Yeah.
And mandate, like,
large
C-cup
C-cups for all. Hey, Australia might become an even better place than I thought it was. So, they're also going after female ejaculation in porn. So, once again, they're basically like, whoa, women enjoying sex, that's dirty.
Yeah, and it's funny because female ejaculation is kind of like this weird, mysterious thing. Like, is it real or is it not real?
Right. I mean, I think they're kind of implying that it's the same as urination, and they have laws already in place against golden showers.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they do female ejaculation in porn, yeah, they're faking it some of the time, and they really are just, you know, having a piss. But you still...
I thought they were, like, popping bags of water inside.
No. No, no.
Oh, man, I thought it was, like, this elaborate thing.
No, no. But seriously, is that... I mean, is that really so horrifying? It's pretty
mundane.
It's terrible,
like, that they're actually banning it. Because, like, the whole point of female ejaculation is, like, she's orgasming.
Right.
And it's, like, visually apparent that she's orgasming.
Right, it is, it's an expression of women enjoying themselves sexually.
Exactly. So the fact that it's, like, being outlawed
and regarded as abhorrent,
it's pretty fucked up.
Right, I think it's a serious issue. So, let's move on. What have we got here? There was a story that Maclean's recently ran. That's a Canadian magazine. They were talking to a fellow named Ted Owen who wants to see gaming in the Olympics.
So, obviously, I know what you're going to say already, that video games deserve to be in the Olympics.
Well, I'm of two minds. Now, I think that there are a number of legitimate sports that aren't even in there. Like, I think golf is going to get in at some
ballroom
point.
Ballroom dancing? Darts?
Oh, darts is iffy. I don't know.
Hey, how's that not like video games?
How's that any less of a sport than curling, I think is the question. They're probably equally non-sport. What?
Yeah, you might have a good point, but curling's in the Olympics.
I know, so maybe darts deserves to be there too.
Yeah.
You know,
ping pong.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think ping pong should definitely be
in the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I think that the first game that should be in the Olympics is chess. It's obviously got some serious historical background. It has no issues with an actual company or rights holder.
Right.
Which is, I think, the biggest issue for actually having video games in the Olympics is that it would just be a huge promotional tool for whoever got their game in the Olympics.
Well, that's very true. It's like Call of Duty.
Right, it's just a big Call of Duty ad. Yeah,
although
exactly.
I think shooters are definitely a legitimate category for the Olympics.
I think shooters would have to be in there if they were going to do it. But I have serious issues with it being a promotional
tool.
There's
a bit of a problem here. Like, if you've got snowboarding in the Olympics and you've got video game snowboarding, that'd be a little bit weird,
yeah.
Don't you think?
I have my doubts as to how many sports video games they'd include. It'd probably be things that aren't possible in real life, like Tetris.
What about, like...
Or FPS?
Sonic Tennis. You can't play tennis on rollerblades.
That's a good point. Yeah, you can't be a horrible blue furry abomination in real life, but... I don't know. I think it would be cool, but... I understand there are a lot of issues. And as the Nerd Olympics champion of Tetris, you know, reigning champion, hey, that'd be pretty awesome to see Tetris.
Tetris would be so boring in the Olympics. Plus, as soon as you think of Tetris, you think of Nintendo.
Well, so you see that, but Tetris is actually owned by a holding company, so I think there's less of an issue with Tetris because
still,
it doesn't promote any specific company.
Still, the first thing you think of Tetris is like Game Boy.
Yeah, or Tetris DS, or Tetris Party on Wii. Yeah, it's
and that'd be so boring to watch.
Well, you
oh
see
my
that,
God.
But have you ever watched your synchronized swimming?
Mm. Hey, that's a good sport. Shut up. No, I think bowling should become legitimate prior to any video games or even chess.
Yeah, but so what would you say would be a legitimate, maybe three games that? Video games that you think...
Video games?
Should be in.
Some sort of shooter.
Yeah.
Some sort of shooter. And... Chess in real life. That's not a video game.
No, that's not a game. So you're thinking two shooters, though?
Well, I'm just trying to... off the top of my head, I can't really think. Like, no RPGs.
No.
No puzzle games. Oh my God, that'd be so boring.
Tetris has to be
not in. Tetris for sure.
You could probably do, like, a fighting game...
No, definitely not
a shooter.
Game. Button mashers, come on.
A shooter and StarCraft. Because that's a huge sport internationally already.
Okay, maybe. Especially if you're Korean.
That's right. Koreans will get some medals out of that.
See, what video games need to do is just make their own Olympics.
Oh, maybe
just
they
like
have?
More Korean style. Like, you know, have their own 24/7 channel and more, like, in the news. Contests and tournaments. And
yeah, I would love to see games become a more legitimate form of entertainment, like they are in Korea, just like you said. Well, you know, Shuffling Dead is a proud sponsor of the Nerd Olympics.
Yeah.
Which is a local event that we run, and it features a lot of video games, of course.
And pretty much no actual sports, which is right up your alley, right?
Drinking is a sport.
Oh, I see.
Alright, next story... we've actually got two stories entitled CEO Smackdown and CEO Smackdown Part 2. So the first one was Nintendo's president, Satoru Iwata. He was having a bit of a laugh at Steve Jobs' iPad.
Nice tray, Pee-wee.
So, Mr. Iwata said that the iPad was basically nothing but a bigger iPod Touch. And he said, there were no surprises for me. So, he was downplaying the iPad. Of course, we know Apple's promoting a bit of gaming on the platform, so maybe Iwata was trying to kind of, you know, make it sound like it wasn't a relevant competition for the DS.
I have a friend, and I'm like, haha, gaming on the iPod Touch or whatever, and he's like a strong proponent of, like, gaming apps and how great they
are. Well, there are a lot of gaming apps, and there have been some creative things done on there, for sure.
I don't take them seriously, personally, as, like, biased and terrible as that is.
Yeah, I like the idea of kind of those smaller downloadable games, but there's a lot of those already available on legitimate gaming platforms. I don't think the iPod Touch has really proven itself a legitimate gaming platform yet. So then we have Steve Jobs basically going on the warpath himself and going after a few of his least favorite companies.
So they were having a town hall, which he usually has after they announce a big new app or new product. And he started out with an angry rant against Google, mostly because of the smartphone sort of war going on right now.
Right, he's not too happy about Google stepping on his turf here. And after ranting about Google a little while, he finished off by saying, "This don't be evil mantra, it's bullshit." So
he's basically calling Google evil.
Well, I think he's saying Google is a company like any other company, and they're all, you know, out there for their own self-interests. So don't think that Google's any better than anybody else, which I have to agree with personally.
Well, Google does have a huge chunk of the internet.
They basically have a search monopoly.
Map monopoly.
A map near monopoly. Their Google AdSense is massive compared to its competition, and I don't think AdSense is necessarily run very fairly to webmasters. Like, they rejected Shuffling Dead and then refused to tell me why.
It's a little personal now.
For example, that's just one issue.
Well, the funny thing about them rejecting your ad is not that they rejected it. It's that there's no way to contact them to, like, get any actual answer of why they...
Right. Well, actually, you know, I went through all these steps of, like... I signed up, they said, okay, paste this code on your site and our ads will start showing up within 48 hours. So right. I post the code, nothing shows up for like a week.
Right.
So I go to their site looking to figure out what the problem is. I click through all these things. Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? And I keep saying no. And then at the end it's like, okay, I guess you'll have to contact us. So I go to the trouble of writing them an email saying, look, I'm having this problem. And the thing pops up saying, okay, we'll have a response to you, you know, within 2 business days or something like that. I never get a response from them, except that 2 minutes after I sent my email, I get an automated response telling me all the things I already went through that told me,
and it turns out you're actually, like, blacklisted.
Right. As far as I can tell, Google just banned my site from allowing their ads to be run. At some point in the past, they never told me. And they allowed me to sign up with the site again. Like, I don't get it. And it's difficult, if not impossible, to actually talk to a real person at Google. So I think Jobs has a point.
Another funny thing, this is kind of off on a tangent, but we were laughing at phone books at work and how, like, outdated phone books are.
Yeah.
And you know you can go to, like, the Yellow Pages online and use the thing. But it's basically useless. Like, you're lucky if someone's, like, phone number actually pops up.
Oh, is that right?
And to me, Google is, like, the new phone book. And if phone book companies had, like, embraced the internet and sort of went that direction, they could be making huge money still instead of, like, going the way of the dodo.
Oh, phone book companies.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Well, like, Google's basically replaced the need for anything like that.
Well, how do you find someone's phone number on Google, though? I mean, basically, you have to find their Facebook account if you're going to find their...
But you can find out, like, their addresses and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that could be. Yeah, it depends, I guess, how...
And if you can't find their phone number on the Yellow Pages anyway, like yellowpages.ca or something...
Yeah, you might as well start trying to Google them and see what you can find, I guess. Yeah, there's got to be a better way.
Or for businesses especially, you don't look in the phone book, you go and Google Map it, and you get, like, the little pop-up to their hours of operation, their phone number, their reviews.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, damn it. The phone companies, or the phone book companies, they totally, like, missed out on it.
They missed out on it. And Google might be filling in right now, but I don't think they're a great replacement either.
Oh, I do.
Because I just don't think it's a very reliable way to find someone.
It might not be totally reliable. Like, it can get outdated and stuff, but, wait, we had to do the Adobe thing. Another, like, my funny, back on the topic at hand.
Yeah.
The funniest thing about this, like, Jobs versus other companies, is when they, like, blasted Adobe for Flash and called it buggy and stuff. And then I think Adobe replied with a bunch of images showing what, when you're using the browser on the iPad, it looks like without Flash, because obviously the iPad doesn't support Flash, because Steve Jobs apparently hates Flash. And one of the images on their little example thing was right from Bang Bros, with like her ass pixelated
out. Right, a pixelated ass and then a big broken frame where the Flash would go.
What the fuck, Adobe?
So, put this up on their blog, and their blogger, I think, got in a little bit of trouble, and they got him to take it down. And Adobe kind of said, oh, he doesn't really speak for us. Well, you know what? It's their blog. He's an employee. And, yeah, they took it down, but I think it's still a good dig from Adobe.
It's a hilarious dig, but it's also, like, I was a little shocked when I saw it.
Yeah.
You don't really expect that from big corporations.
You know, I think Steve Jobs is in no way justified in this. Like, what
Well, especially for Flash, because Apple doesn't have a reply for Flash.
Right.
Like, remember how Microsoft released, just sort of recently, well, maybe a year now, Silverlight?
Yes, that went nowhere.
Which may or may, well, it's kind of like being, it's there, but it's not huge like Flash. It hasn't killed Flash or anything. And, like, Jobs did that. Flash is going to be dead soon because of HTML5. But, I mean, that doesn't change right now that the iPad's pretty busted for not supporting Flash currently.
Yeah, absolutely. Flash is a huge component of browsing the internet these days. And to not include it, I don't care what your feelings are towards Flash. I mean, you've got to. If you're going to have a browser, you have to support Flash. And I'm excited for HTML5, but, like, you know, this is obviously Jobs having just some kind of personal gripe with Adobe or something, because this is not a legitimate thing to excuse to preclude it from your product. So we've got a story out of the U.S. here. Two kids have been charged with
child pornography,
child exploitation and possession of child pornography for texting naked pictures of themselves to each other.
And they were registered as
They may be registered as sex offenders.
Which is hilarious.
Right. So, I mean, this is just crazy. Like, I mean, kids have been showing each other their private parts for a long time. And to basically lump these kids in, who I think were doing something pretty innocent, you know, exploring their sexuality as they, you know, get a little older. And lumping them in with just, like, hardcore child pornography traffickers. It's just
pretty
insane.
Weird. It's kind of funny, the story behind it. Like, according to your articles, they were just caught in class because the girl's phone rang and the teacher caught it.
Right.
And found out what they were doing.
So that's embarrassing in and of itself.
Yeah. But the thing, like, I have mixed feelings about this. Like, I do think that kids should be protected or slash punished in some, like, not as registered sex offenders or whatever, but something so that, like, they're not sending naked pictures to, like, people they ought not to be, like, where it could put them in a dangerous situation.
Well, they probably shouldn't be sending pictures of themselves to anybody.
True.
Like, right. You don't want that out there.
Right.
But at Especially, the same time, yeah. my argument is, you know, these are human beings. They have a right to do with their bodies what they choose. And to, you know, make it illegal for them to do something, you know, that people have been doing for a very long time, which is, you know, flashing each other. Like, it's just crazy, in my opinion.
The other thing, though, is, like, if you do it in real life, like, to each other, like, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. That's one thing. But to have, like, an actual image file on your cell phone,
then it's out there.
It's, you know, a little bit more risky.
Yeah, they shouldn't do it. And I think it would be important to educate kids about the dangers of the internet and cell phones and all of that, but at the same time, I just can't think of a legitimate way to put it into law to stop them from doing it.
Next on the
Hit Parade,
another Australian story. An oppressive Australian story.
Right.
This time about gaming. And, like, if you've been following the news lately, Australia's been kind of in the news for what they're doing with game ratings. But you get a little bit more into it in this week's article.
Yeah, so the story is that, you know, in North America, where we have the ESRB, you have games that are rated teen, games that are rated mature, games that are rated adults only.
Right.
So, in Australia, they have their own rating system, where their equivalent ratings only go as high as teen, basically. They have an MA 15 plus, right, basically. 15. Which means that any game that would be rated M or AO in North America basically doesn't get to come out in Australia.
And it's funny, like, important to remember that pretty much, like, what is it? Any game with blood is automatically rated for teens in...
Oh, I'm not aware of the rules.
Oh, okay. I thought you knew in North America.
I have no idea. No.
Well, anyway, the mature rating could be anything for, like, blood.
Blood, maybe, swearing, sexuality,
sex, like, simulated.
God of War style, minigame sex, whatever.
No, I mean, like... simulated violence up to, like, a certain point where it's, like, actually, like, kind of really violent.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, just not being able to get these games at all is pretty fucked up, because you can still get porn or...
Well, to some degree, as we talked about.
Well, you know, like, innocent, not abhorrent porn.
Yeah.
With big boobs and safe...
Women...
safe vanilla women sex.
Thoroughly not enjoying themselves. So, it turns out there's a South Australian guy named Michael Atkinson. He's one of the biggest opponents of introducing a mature rating to Australia. He basically spreads disinformation about games to the public and convinces them that, you know, it's going to turn your kids into serial killers. So there's a new political party that's formed called Gamers for Croydon, if I'm saying that right. And they're going to be running somebody directly against Atkinson in his riding. So I think this is spectacular.
It's good that someone's actually standing up, because, I mean, adults should be able to buy any game they want.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's so... what's it called when you're being fed by the government?
Orwellian?
It's terrible!
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing that this is such an obvious... encroachment on the rights of adults, basically.
Totally.
So I'm really excited, and man, if something like this was going on in Canada, you know what? It'd give me something to do, because I would totally be in on this.
Another follow-up story. Eric Estevillo?
Estevillo, I think.
Has finally dropped all his lawsuits against Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, media outlets like IGN, NBC, Kotaku. So many. So you know a little bit about the background of this story, and why the hell is he dropping them after all his energy to get them all sued?
Yeah, this Eric Estevillo guy, he made news a while ago. I made him Shameful Human of the Week a while ago. He was suing Nintendo for disabling his homebrew channel. He's going after Sony for banning him from, I think it was Resistance. They banned him from their online. And Microsoft, he's suing them... or he was, for the Red Ring of Death. Now, he's decided that all of these lawsuits are a little unhealthy and for him. They're causing him too much stress. He's dropping his lawsuits.
But the funny part is he was suing the other, like, media outlets just for making fun of him.
Yeah, pretty spectacular. And I'm really disappointed he wasn't suing Shuffling Dead, because we made fun of him, too. But I guess we're not big enough.
Maybe you're Canadian and... he didn't want to go into international territories or something.
Yeah, I don't know. And actually, he, as part of his lawsuits, he was actually trying to subpoena celebrities to be his expert witnesses.
Oh, really?
So he was going to.
What the fuck?
So he was trying to get Winona Ryder, because apparently
classy.
She's read
citizen.
She's read Catcher in the Rye,
yeah.
And to him that implied that she would understand the plight of a nerdy gamer who doesn't have any friends.
Didn't J.D. Salinger just died?
Salinger just died, that's
aww,
right.
Aww, way to tie in this other news story.
Which we didn't run. we didn't have a Salinger
story. He was like 90 anyway.
Yeah, he was really
time
old.
For him to go.
Yeah, he was really only, people remember him for two reasons. One is Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah.
And the other is that he never talked to anybody.
So.
Anyways, so... like we said, Eric Estevillo, he's finding it too hard and too expensive to continue with these lawsuits.
Poor guy.
So
and now he can't even, like, enjoy video games at home because he's, like, banned from everything.
Well, it turns
and
out...
and his Xbox died.
Well...
you should get a PC. That's what I think.
So here's the thing. He kind of made a bunch of excuses as to why he was dropping these lawsuits. So he says, for Nintendo... there's lots of websites that'll help put the homebrew back on his Wii. For Sony, he says he was just suing them for the kids, and it turns out the kids required adult consent to be playing online anyways. And he claims he didn't know that Microsoft would pay for a replacement 360 if it died from the Red Ring of Death. Of course they do.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So, I don't know, those sound like a lot of excuses that he surely he already knew those things. But anyways,
How old is this guy? Is this guy an adult? Because the picture you have on him, he's like a 13-year-old.
Yeah, that's not his real
picture.
That's
a hilarious picture.
Well, that's a classic internet picture. It's this fat kid wearing a bedsheet as a cape. He's got, like, a staff with an NES controller on. He's wearing a power glove. He's got a holstered... NES zapper gun.
Duck hunter?
Duck hunt gun. So it's a pretty enjoyable picture. It's kind of how I imagine him in real life. But no, he is an adult, and he said that he decided to file these lawsuits because he literally has no friends and no job and has nothing better to do.
Poor guy. So, maybe he should take up a nice hobby like...
Like gaming.
What's a good non-hostile environment... For
maybe he should take karate.
Not sports. Not karate. He just has to do laps and push-ups. It would make him angry.
I don't know. Eric...
I guess there's no good outlet.
Eric, start a podcast.
Oh my god, he should. He could be the fucking dictator.
Yeah, he could...
People will eat that shit up.
He could have a gimmick of, like, lawsuit of the week, and he could be like,
oh, that'd be so awesome.
Eric, get into podcast. We got Miss America. She was just crowned, I think, on Saturday.
Miss Virginia?
Yeah, what's her name here?
Carissa Cameron.
Right, so in her post-victory interview, she, we have this quote. She says, take away the TV, take away the video games, set some standards for our children. Now,
that is just, like...
So offensive.
Uplifting and...
Well, I'm personally offended.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
She said that. How relevant is what Miss America says to anything? Unless she gets drunk and has, like, topless photos all over the internet.
Yeah, and makes out with another contestant.
Right. Makes sex tapes. Or was that Miss Universe?
That was Carrie Prejean. I think that was one of the contestants. I don't know. There's been a whole bunch of good stuff. Oh, that's right. The threesome.
Miss Japan and Miss Trinidad.
We ran that story a long time ago on the site. Oh, that was a good story.
Anyway, it seems like after she's actually crowned, you never hear about any Miss America stories, or any Miss Anybody stories, unless they're stepping down for some reason. It's kind of sad. I think they should just do away with it.
Yeah, it's pretty irrelevant these days. I mean, it's weird that in an era of reality TV basically being the entirety of television at this point, that no one cares about Miss America
anymore. And
it's
funny, because for a while there, like, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, they actually had a reality TV show about, like, the pre-Miss America thing, where you, like, could see all the girls, and they did these fun little competitions, and they made fun of pageants and stuff, and they're like, we're updating Miss America to be more like real women. But I guess it didn't really work out.
I guess not. But, you know, it sounds like it would have worked. Like, it's,
I don't know.
They should have kept doing that or something. Because that way, at least people would have favorites.
I think the people in... Well, I don't think you're supposed to have favorites. Because you're supposed to be watching it... To cheer for your state, yeah.
Well, I just cheer for whoever's hottest. So.
Well, sorry to let you know, but everyone cheers for who's hottest in 51 people. 50? How many Miss American contestants are there? Anyway.
Well, one for every state. I don't know if, like, District of Columbia or Puerto Rico. I don't know.
Anyway, let's just say a lot of people don't get their hottest one to win.
Yeah.
So, anyway, apparently they don't like video games.
Yeah. And then it turns out she's also going to be a spokesperson, I should say.
Yeah,
jerk. Ooh. For IHOP's, that is International House of Pancakes, National Pancake Day. That's a charity event, but, you know, and I think it's still kind of in promotion of IHOP. So, I mean, it's not like the healthiest place in the world to eat.
Well, you know what? Eating breakfast is always important.
It's the most important meal of the day, but you know what? Greasy Dwight sausages and gallons of syrup.
Whipped cream.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if these two issues jive. Oh, we got some great stories here. You know what? I just decided that Garbage is my favorite band.
I thought that was the case for a while.
Well,
Or was it?
I was waffling. I wasn't sure. But you know what? Garbage is my favorite band. And I was so disappointed. They announced a while ago that they were going on hiatus. It's been 5 years now since their last album came out, Bleed Like Me. But Shirley Manson, the lead singer and second hottest woman in the world, has gone on to Facebook and announced, hey, guess who I was in the studio with? Just putting together some new songs. That's right, Garbage is back.
So I don't really know much about Garbage. Isn't, like, her husband also in the band?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I like to think that she's single, but I really don't know.
Yeah, I can't really remember either.
So, very exciting news. But you don't seem to care too much.
I don't really remember any Garbage hits. Well, I do from, like, 1993 or something. Yeah. But, I mean, it's been so long, they're not really relevant anymore.
Excuse me.
I mean, I'll be excited to see what they come up with. I hope it's good.
Do you remember the Bond song, The World Is Not Enough?
Vaguely, yes.
Best Bond song, in my opinion. They did that song. I'm so excited that they're coming back. And Bleed Like Me is one of my favorite albums, too, so they're still good.
That's good. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. Oh, this is such exciting news. Sega's getting, like, their own console.
Yeah, Sega's back in the console business.
And from what I've read, it's basically a Wii.
It's basically one of those sketchy, like, 50-in-1 things that you would buy at a mall kiosk.
Oh, so you can't even put your own games in them?
You
they're all preloaded?
That's correct.
Interesting.
This thing's called the Sega Zone. It comes with 20 classic Sega titles.
It's only $80, though, so, I mean...
Yeah, it's a budget thing.
People are going to buy
it. It's not, like, a serious console contender.
And you know it's going to be, like, a super collector item.
It's going to be...
For only $80.
Maybe. So, yeah, 20 classic Sega games, and then another 30 new games... About half of which are going to be motion-controlled, because it's kind of a Wii clone.
Interesting that they chose to go motion-control when they're releasing all these classic games, though. It's kind of a...
Well, just like the Wii, you can turn the controller sideways, I assume.
Right.
And
still,
play classics.
That the fact that they're going that way when, like, a huge chunk of the video game market still is like, ah, that's funny.
Well, no, that's not true, because Microsoft's doing Natal... Sony's doing their wand device.
Really?
Motion control is
the way
where gaming is going. So, Sega's got that right, at least, I think.
Anyway, their spokesperson on the box is, of course, Sonic.
Of course. You know, this is so typical of Sega. They've actually re-released the Genesis, to my knowledge, a bunch of times, even in recent history. Like, they keep trying to just cash in on people liking the Genesis. But, you know, it came out 20 years ago. It stopped being manufactured... 15 years ago, like, we've played Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, the first 3 or 4 games, you know, on every system imaginable. Like, Sega, you know what, give it a rest, try to make something new.
An interesting video or take on this Sonic thing is Game Overthinker on YouTube. He's got a 2-part Sonic video where he just sort of goes through Sega's whole history of Sonic and, like... He has some ideas on how they could improve it and what they fucked up on.
Right.
It's really actually quite interesting.
That's an interesting series. I think the main point of those videos was basically get back to your roots, cut about 50 of your extraneous characters out of these games, stop with all the wacky stories and, like, the realistic graphics, and try to just make a fun, fast platformer again. And it's just, Sega is so off track. Like, they need to stop rehashing their old stuff and, you know, kind of restart. They need to reboot the company. So, anyways, Sega Zone, it's just crazy. Okay, we're transitioning now to our Things of the Week segment of the podcast. Every week on Shuffling Dead, I run various things...
Of the week.
Right, so like Shameful Human of the Week, I get to feature someone that made the news and was basically a terrible person.
Magic Card of the Week, just to raise some awareness about what you can play with.
Right, so we're going to go through my most recent things of the week, starting with Interneter of the Week, Matt Casamassina. Or as I like to call him, Assamassina.
Oh, this is really funny, because you're such a funny guy. Every time you read articles online, the first question you ask is, who wrote it? You know all the names of every single video game writer out there.
Yeah, they're so not funny. All of them, but there are a few, especially the IGN guys. They're kind of their own little internet celebrities. So Matt Casamassina is really the big one. He ran the Nintendo channel over at N64.com, which quickly became the N64 section of IGN. He was in that position for an extremely long time. He's a big Metroid fanboy. He was always, I thought, a pretty funny guy. He did these kind of gimmicks, like he had this character, Ed the Janitor,
yeah,
who would kind of do a rumor wrap-up on the site way back. That was back when IGN still knew how to have fun.
Apparently he was a bit of a stalker, too.
Well, that was a little joke on my part.
Okay.
There was a woman at Nintendo, vice president of marketing, named Perrin Kaplan. She was a series MILF. And they used to have all these interviews, and they would have this weird kind of flirty thing going on. I always thought it was hilarious.
So you didn't get a restraining order or anything.
No. And back in the N64 days especially, Matt was really in contact with a lot of devs and stuff.
Yeah.
So he actually got his face in Perfect Dark. You can play as Matt Casamassina in Perfect Dark.
Amazing.
Or you can shoot him in the face in Perfect Dark.
Oh, my.
So, in that sense, he's kind of my hero, but he's kind of a jerk as well.
Aw, why so?
Well, he left the Nintendo channel, and now he's off being editor-at-large for IGN.
Isn't that a promotion for him?
It's kind of a promotion, but it kind of feels like he's abandoning Nintendo.
Aww.
And it kind of seems like he's just not as into Nintendo as he used to be.
Aww.
But I think he's an interesting guy, which is why I featured him on the site. Interesting side note, his longtime compatriot over on the Nintendo channel, Mark Bozon, has just announced that he's leaving IGN.
Oh, no Nintendo section on IGN is just falling apart.
No. Well, don't worry, Craig Harris is still there, and he's been there almost as long as Assamassina, so don't worry about it.
So you also did a Magic Card of the Week. Of course, this one from World Wake, which I'm sure you're highly anticipating.
Coming out right away.
It's just a green card, and it just costs 3 mana, all forests, and it's a 4/5.
Yeah, and no abilities. It's a beast creature type. This is just a very simple creature, super efficient. It fits so well into my beast deck. I love monocolor decks, especially mono green. I think it's just so cool to have a real theme behind your Magic deck. And Leatherback Bell just fits right into my beast deck.
How many are you going to put into your deck?
I'm going to do 4.
4? Wow. Yeah. What are you taking out?
I don't know. I love them all. They're my babies. But I don't know.
It'll be tough.
Yeah. Not that I ever win with the beast deck, but it's my favorite deck.
That's good.
Now, here's a hell of a story. Shameful Human of the Week, Rex Fowler.
Right. So he's a Scientologist, you know, from Colorado. But he's been charged with murdering his former business partner after he took, apparently, did his partner take money or did he take money?
No. Rex Fowler took $200,000 of his company's money without permission and gave it to the Church of Scientology.
No, they gave it to some church or some type of charity is what the arrest warrant
affidavit says. But, no, he gave the money to the Church of Scientology.
You gotta give credit. It takes a lot of money and time to get up in the ranks in the Church of Scientology.
Yeah, and a lot of money. About $200,000.
Per course.
Yeah. So,
unless you're Tom Cruise.
Well,
or Victoria Beckham.
Victoria Beckham's in Scientology?
Why do you think they moved to L.A.?
So that Beckham could play for the L.A. Galaxy.
Oh, they're Scientologists.
No way.
Right. Here, let's Google it right now. Victoria Beckham.
You should probably put Scientologist.
I think they were buddy buddies and I'm
pretty woman with the fakest tits in the world.
And you know what? It's interesting. I was reading on Perez Hilton that she actually had to stop wearing heels because her bunions were so fucking huge.
Wow.
It's kind of gross to take a picture. So she was on a cruise with Tom Cruise,
Oh.
And they were thinking that maybe they got a little bit converted. not to mention Katie Holmes and Victoria were like BFFs for a while.
Oh my god. And
they were saying that's why Katie Holmes got so skinny.
Oh, this is following her diet. Awful. This is terrible. You know, Will Smith and his wife have been spent way too much time with Tom Cruise as well, and I think they might have gotten converted.
Man, that's scary.
It's really scary. I don't know what the hell. You know, it's my understanding that the church actually tries to get material on you and then threaten blackmail.
Not if you're a celebrity though.
What Anonymous believes is the reason that Will Smith has kind of become a Scientologist is that Cruise has something on him.
Wow, Tom Cruise is evil. Ever since he was in that one movie where he was in the fat suit and dancing around.
Oh, that's such a good movie, though.
It made me realize just how evil. Like, he was wacky before, after I saw that movie.
That's such a good movie, though.
He was fucking
evil. Agree or disagree.
That was an awesome movie.
Thank you.
But the trailers made the movie, though.
Yeah, that's right. The first 5 minutes were the best part. Look, we're not saying any of this is for sure.
No.
Allegedly.
It's all speculation.
But
as a lot of Scientology-related things are.
That's right, because they're so good at keeping information about themselves out of the public.
Hey, if you want to get sued, I mean, forget Eric Vista, whatever his name is. Just go after the Church of Scientology.
I'm doing my best. So
anyway, back to Rex Fowler.
Well, back in the 80s, Time Magazine did a cover story on the church called, I think it was Church of Greed or something like that. And basically, Scientologists tried to sue the hell out of them. Time eventually won, but it cost them so much money that everybody kind of went, whoa, we're not going to talk about the church anymore.
Aww.
So you end up with all these bad stories, like this Rex Fowler story, coming out and then getting suppressed by the church because they're so powerful. It's really scary. So, I'm pretty confident that Rex Fowler, it really sounds like he did kill this guy. And in any case, he definitely took this money and gave it to the church.
So why did he kill the guy? Like, he took his money and then he didn't want to get in trouble, so he killed the guy?
Well, the guy came back for a severance payment.
Oh, I see.
So, we don't really know the details,
I
right?
I see.
It's still under investigation. But, it's just scary. How,
it really is scary.
How prevalent the Church of Scientology is, and the fact that they just have their fingers in everything.
So. Oh, my favorite topic of the week, Star Trek episode.
Star Trek episode of the week. We're going back to first season TNG once again. This one's called Justice. You probably remember this one as the one where Will Wheaton, Wesley Crusher, falls in the flower garden and gets a death sentence. And basically, Picard spent a lot of time worrying about just busting him out, because it's kind of not a very highly developed civilization that they're trying to rescue him from. And Picard's like, well, prime directive. But in the end, he's just like, screw it, beams Willy out, and they take off. It's a really funny, cheesy episode. The aliens, I think they're called the Edo, which, man, Edo, oh, I love
eating there. Star Trek loves Japan.
Do they?
They do. Oh. Remember they were having, like, we were watching some random episode and they had, like, these fighting in a ring. They were, like, practicing judo or something, and there's all these Japanese/Chinese figures on the
thing. I agree.
And
you're
they're, like,
reaching.
Such fanboys. I'm not reaching. I'm going to do an article on this later. I'm going to troll and flame you as hard as I can.
So these guys, the Edo, they're all young, attractive, in shape, open, friendly, and highly sexual. They're technically aliens, but they look just like people.
That's convenient.
Yeah.
It looks like Adam and Eve up there on your image.
That's pretty much all of the Edo look like that.
He's got bigger boobs than she does.
Well, he's got serious pecs. But it's a really funny episode. So, there's one point where Riker describes the Edo as saying they certainly are .. Because you know Riker is just a prolific banger of women, so he's
so
a big fan
amazing,
of his culture.
So deep. Well, definitely people should also check out your comic this week, because you've got your neckbeard and wolf shirt going. And you're just talking about the Oscars and Avatar.
Right.
And,
so Avatar got nominated, you probably heard, for a Best Picture Oscar. And I was really excited to see District 9 also nominated for Best Picture.
They were.
Yeah, and that's a really good movie. So that's exciting.
Good.
But Star Trek, my personal movie of the year, No such luck. They got a few technical nominations, but...
Did they win anything?
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, oops.
Yeah.
Shows how much I follow.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
It's you know Avatar is going to win anyway.
I think they
Director's going to go to the Hurt Room. Cause
Hurt Locker.
They want to get the woman out there, finally.
Oh, that's right. It was directed by a woman, wasn't it? But this Avatar
thing I'd be so surprised.
It's following the Titanic path of highest grossing movie ever. I think by today, it's highest grossing movie domestically ever. Pretty sure it's going to happen this week sometime, if not already. Cameron's just going to walk into the Oscars, and they're going to give him every damn Oscar. Titanic won 11, you know.
So we also did a video this week. This time it was about building basic magic decks.
Yeah, it was a dungeon video. Celsi and I worked together on this one.
Right, because you've really got me into magic lately.
I'm still learning how to build decks
and refine them.
Right, so we thought we'd turn that into a little instructional video.
It's a pretty good video.
Yeah, I like it. Anyways, we submitted this on Reddit, which is a link sharing site.
Right.
And people weren't too happy about the video. So
they were in outright flames, but I mean, they were totally positive.
So there were kind of, there were several comments. I'd break them down into two categories.
Right.
One is just kind of talking about magic.
Right. The hardcore magic wheel.
So that's fine.
Discussion.
That's cool. That's great that we got a real discussion going. But then the other half of the comments are just insulting us.
Totally. Someone said that I irk them.
Yeah, for some reason, that chick just irks me.
I don't see how.
Pretty harsh.
I might have said like a few too many times, but...
Well, you're irking this guy. Somebody else says, is anyone else super creeped out by the lusty way he keeps glancing at her? I guess I can't help myself.
But then he goes on to talk about magic for real, so we have to forgive that.
Another guy says he seems to always look that way, mouth slightly open, swallowing visibly weird.
Yeah.
Do I have that problem?
You know what? I think you do that anyway on your normal videos, so I don't think it has anything to do with being creepy or anything.
It's just the way I gotta learn to shut my mouth and swallow more subtly.
Thanks for the feedback, guys. We really do appreciate it.
And somebody says sarcastically, totally ruining the stereotype that magic players are all good-looking, charismatic, socially capable individuals.
You know what?
Basically saying we look like ugly trolls.
But we do appreciate the feedback.
Yeah, so I think whenever we can, we're gonna try to include a feedback section on the podcast.
So... comment on our articles as well, because we want to hear what you guys have
to
say.
Comments are open on Shuffling Dead, and so far it's pretty much just Celsi here commenting.
And Zed.
Basically two people comment.
And on YouTube we can always count on Guar. Angry video.
Shad. Yeah, we got
a few regulars, but we need some more diversity.
And if you could actually get in contact with us and maybe ask us questions or give us feedback specifically about the podcast, we'd love to cover it on the show.
Right, so contact us at hosts@shufflingdead.com if you have any input. Just hosts@shufflingdead.com.
That's right. Remember, Shuffling Deadcast is part of shufflingdead.com, so definitely check out the site.
Yeah, you can find all the articles we talked about and more.
That's right, we try to do show notes. You can go to twitter.com/shufflingdead. Definitely follow us.
Yeah, you can check out your videos on youtube.com/marnax.
MARNAX.
Yep.
And I guess that's it for this week.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, everybody. Bye, everybody.
Hope you enjoyed the show.